And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated around the church tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our starting point is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. While you're getting there, let me remind everyone, especially those online, Friday night, 6 o'clock. Saturday night, 6 o'clock. And Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. Holy Ghost Fire Services at Holy Ghost Fire Church. Bring a Bible, bring a friend, come to the house of the Lord. For more information, visit our website, holyghostfirechurch.org. There you will find directions to this church, and you will be blessed when you come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. In these verses, we see some of the fundamental foundations of the Christian faith. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ, Him who died on the cross for our sins. Then the third part of this, whom God raised from the dead. The focus of this message tonight is going to be the resurrection. Believers in Jesus, we need to be sure about the three fundamentals we just talked about. Jesus being the Christ, Jesus being the Son of God, Jesus the one who shed His blood to pay our sin debt so our sins are forgiven, and then, yes, the resurrection. What separates Christianity from every religion, if you really think about it, is the concept of a resurrection. Of being raised from the dead. This is a key, foundational, fundamental point in the Christian message. Without the resurrection, there really is no Christianity. When did Christianity really get its start? When Jesus paid the sin debt on the cross, and then when His believers were witnesses of His resurrection from the dead. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. But because there is a resurrection, we can have hope now, and hope into eternity. We're going to begin our focus by looking at the resurrection of Jesus, because this is key and vital. In the book of John, the second chapter, toward the end of the chapter, Jesus entered into the temple and He cleansed it. The merchants were selling big animals as far as sacrifices were concerned, hoping to earn a quick buck. When Jesus arrived, He ended that. He drove all the animals out of the temple area. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were upset and angry with what Jesus had just did. their question, what gives you the right and the authority to do this? Notice what Jesus said in the book of John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what signs show you unto us, seeing that you do these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. Let's hold there for a second. Destroy this temple. This is referring to the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross, the shedding of his blood to pay the sin debt, the next part. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. This connects to what? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. What Jesus is getting at here early in his ministry. I will be put to death. I will be raised from the dead. Verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will ye rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So what did Jesus just do here? He begins to lay the groundwork for what's going to be the key moment in history. When Jesus is put to death on the cross to shed his blood to pay our sin debt. When God raises Jesus from the dead. Now on this day, the point went over the head of the Pharisees. The point went over the head of the disciples. But there will come a time when Jesus is raised from the dead that this revelation will begin to come into focus. Jesus must needs die on a cross. And Jesus must needs be raised from the dead. Are we still here? Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now, what did we see in John chapter 2? We want a sign. Now, once again, we want a sign. When it comes to Christianity, ultimately, there is the sign, the one that matters the most. Verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Let's use Jonah as the pattern here. What Jonah going into the water and being swallowed by the whale represents? It represents the future death of Jesus on the cross in type form. For 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah was in the belly of that whale. This represents what? Jesus being buried for 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So, what did we see? First, Jonah, type of what? Death of Christ. Now we see what? Jonah, type of Jesus being in the grave. Now what happened to Jonah? The whale brings him to dry land and deposits him back on shore. What does this represent to us? God raising Jesus from the dead. In this, we see the type of the cross, the death of Jesus. the type of Jesus being in the grave 3 days and three nights. And we also see what? God raising Jesus from the dead. Verse 40. Let me reread this. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then what? God will raise him from the dead. Now let's go to chapter 16, verses 1, 2, 3, 4. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Once again, sign. Give us a sign that you are who you say you are. Verse 2. Jesus answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? Verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. We know what this is. Actually, let's connect all three of these signs. It's the same basic sign that Jesus will die on the cross, that Jesus will be buried for 3 days, and then God will raise Jesus from the dead. Now, we know that men die all the time. And we know that men are buried all the time. But no one had been raised from the dead and not gone back to that grave later on. For example, the widow of Nain's son died. Jesus raised that boy from the dead, that man from the dead. But he died later on. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. But even she would die later on in life. And Lazarus, the same story. He died, he was buried. Jesus raised him from the dead, but he would go and die once again. Jesus is the exception. For when he died and he was buried, he was raised by God the Father in a new glorified body, never to die again. Jesus instead was caught up to be with the Father at the right hand. The sign to this generation is the sign to the prior generations. And what is this sign? Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him buried, Him raised from the dead. Are we still here? This is the sign. Now let's keep looking at this. More toward the middle of chapter 16, book of Matthew. After Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. After Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. After saying this, Jesus did something. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Now, up to this point, you could say that Jesus, when he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, there was a lot of type and shadow there, parable style. But with his disciples, Jesus is making this clear. The religious rulers were going to put him to death. He would be buried and be in the grave 3 days, and then God would raise him from the dead. Jesus began to prepare his disciples for what was going to happen. It would be a key and vital event that they needed to be ready for. Matthew 17, verse 9. After Jesus walks down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he's with Peter, James, and John. And what did Jesus say? Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be what? Risen again from the dead. So once again, we see Jesus preparing his own for what? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Later on, chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. So what do we see? Jesus, again, preparing his disciples that he is going to be what? Betrayed, killed, and raised from the dead. And then before Jesus made his entry into Jerusalem, chapter 20, verses 17 through 19. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. What do we see once again? I will rise again. Now, up to this point, we have seen so far 7 verses specifically about Jesus rising from the dead. When you see something 7 times, it is a sign, 1, that it is important, and 2, that it is going to happen. Jesus said this 3 times to the religious rulers. He has said this up to this point to his disciples at least 4 times. I will rise again. Now it's getting to the point that if Jesus does not rise from the dead, he isn't who he says he is. This now needs to happen. Are we still here? Matthew 27, starting with verse 62. Now the next day, following the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Now, what are we seeing here? The religious rulers of the time, they get the point. Jesus has been saying, I will rise again. The reason why the religious rulers will ask for a guard from Pilate to guard the tomb is because the rulers remembered that Jesus said on more than one occasion, I will rise again after 3 days. So they understood the basic point about this. After 3 days, I will rise again. At this point, the religious rulers, they understand that Jesus said this. The very people whom the guard was there for, they don't. They're locked in a room. We know that they have heard Jesus at least 7 times, probably way more than that, talk about his resurrection from the dead. Yet they believed in this so much that they locked themselves behind closed doors and did not even dare go in public, afraid of what was going to happen to them. They did not believe a resurrection was going to happen. Even the women who went to the tomb on the third day, they went to apply spices to the body of Jesus. Their main concern was trying to find someone to roll away the stone so they could get to the body. Nobody in Jesus' group believed that he would rise from the dead. That's why when they saw the stone rolled away, it shocked the daylights out of them. What do we see? Luke chapter 24, verses 5, 6, and 7. And as they were afraid, the women arrived there. They are going to apply their spices. They were going to do what was necessary to preserve, for that time at least, a dead body. Now, the stone is rolled away and the body isn't there. And they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you looking for Jesus here? Jesus does not hang out in cemeteries. The risen Savior does not hang out in cemeteries. If anything, I guarantee you this, there will come a time that the risen Savior will empty every cemetery in the world. But we're still here. He's really not big into cemeteries. Verse 6, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, verse 7, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. what the angel is saying, that Jesus has been raised from the dead, exactly as he said would happen. The women, they wanted a little bit more proof. John chapter 20, verse 13 through 16. This case is Jesus and Mary Magdalene, except Mary does not know who she is talking to. She thinks he's the gardener. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weep you?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weep you? Who seek you?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him away." She still thinks at this point he is dead. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." What is Mary? She is the first person to witness the raised, resurrected Jesus, who on the third day was raised from the dead, just as God the Father said would happen, just like Jesus said throughout his earthly ministry, consistently, this is going to happen. In Luke, the 24th chapter, two men, believers in Jesus, they were on their way home from Emmaus. They were depressed. In their mind, Jesus is still in the grave. It does not yet dawn on them that the reports that they have been hearing about Jesus being raised might be true. These guys were so depressed, they were going home to spend the rest of their lives in depression because they, in their mind, served one who was not coming back alive. Jesus appears to these two, but at first they don't realize who they're dealing with. And what did Jesus do starting in verse 27? "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, starting in Genesis and going all the way through Malachi, taught these men about how Jesus would die on the cross and how that God would raise him from the dead. That's what it means by "expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." If you want to know about the certainty of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, it is in the volume of the book. Old and New mention Jesus, and it refers to his death and, yes, his resurrection from the dead. Verse 28. "And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him." Who did they know? They knew the risen Jesus. They were witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. Are we still here? This is still the third day. Mary Magdalene, she saw him on the third day. These men, it's still the third day. They saw him on the third day. And then Jesus appears to his disciples, Luke 24:36-46, again on the third day. Yes, the rest of the sightings of Jesus from the fourth day going forward are important. But the prophecy was specific. God would raise Jesus on the third day. All of these accounts of all of these believers in Jesus, seeing him raised from the dead on the third day, is vital and important. They needed to see him on the third day to verify that Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. Yes, what Thomas would see a week later is important. Yes, what is written about in 1 Corinthians 15 a little later in the chapter with all the witnesses of Jesus seeing him, yes, they are important. But the prophecy was third day. So these who saw Jesus on this third day, it was vital for them to see him on the third day in order for the third day to be correct and fulfilled. Are we still here? Luke 24:36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. At this point, they do not yet believe that Jesus is in a physical body in front of them. They think they're seeing the spirit of Jesus. Verse 38. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hand and feet. That is I. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he hath thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. In other words, they are now beginning to realize that this is a flesh and bone person. But they're not there yet. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them whole. Now what do we see? On day three, the disciples are handling Jesus. They are verifying he is a flesh and bone person. He is not a spirit. They have seen him eat fish and a honeycomb. This verifies on day three that this is a flesh and bone person with an appetite. Are we still here? In other words, he is a living person. This had to happen on day three because they needed to be the witnesses that this resurrection happened on day three. Now we know from the soldiers who were guarding that tomb that Jesus did not break out of that tomb on day one, two, or three. Amen? We know the disciples and the women were nowhere to be found. So they made no attempt to break them out. Everything that happened for one purpose. For there to be witnesses that Jesus was dead for the 3 days, and then he came to life again on the correct day, with witnesses proving that he was alive, well, in a flesh and bone body, eating, drinking, and having fellowship with his own. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. So what did Jesus do on the third day? He connected what had just happened with what? The prophets, the law of Moses, and the Psalms. The entirety of the Old Testament. They speak of Jesus. And then their understanding was enlightened that they would know that this is the risen Savior. Verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Jesus rose on the correct day. The witnesses say so. And because Jesus died on the cross, witnessed by everyone, and Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days, witnessed by soldiers who guarded the tomb. And since Jesus was raised from the dead, witnessed by angels and Mary and the two men on the road to Emmaus, those two are important. Why? Because people could say, well, it's just the disciples and it's just the women who always followed with him. But those two men were not part of the disciple group. Those two men were independent, verifiable witnesses that go beyond the disciples. Further proof that God raised Jesus from the dead and not just the mouth of the disciples or the women that always traveled with them. There was a reason why Jesus went to these two going to Emmaus. They were not part of the Galilee group. Are you getting this? Independent, verifiable witnesses that this happened exactly as Jesus said. Tonight, and we will be building on this as we go along, the point is that Jesus predicted over and over again, I will die. I will even be crucified. I will be in the heart of the earth buried for 3 days, and then my Father will raise me up. Jesus said it. It happened. And then the Father followed through by raising Jesus from the dead. Our faith hinges on a belief in all of this. Not just that Jesus died on the cross, but he said it was going to happen beforehand, and it did. Not just that Jesus was buried for 3 days, but that Jesus said this would happen on multiple occasions, and it did. And not just that Jesus was raised from the dead, but that he said this on multiple occasions. And it happened on the third day with many witnesses verifying this happened on day 3. Our faith depends on all these events. And because they happened, we know that we believe in something true. Something that really did happen. And because our faith hinges on this, we know that Jesus can give us life both now and into eternity as well. Let's stand across the church tonight. Raise your hands and praise the Lord.